Well, you tell me which is worse, women being raped with impunity in some Muslim countries or women being sexually degraded every day here in America.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, let's talk about it honestly. We hear about women being raped in other countries of the world, and it's just part of the culture. Women just treated as sexual objects. We hear about two women raped in India, and then they're hung because they lost their virginity. We hear about honor killings in Muslim countries. Maybe a girl is going with someone that the family doesn't like. The brothers kill her. We hear about the acid attacks and Iran and other countries around the world, and here's a woman that just says no to a guy that's interested in her, and he throws acid in her face, and here's a formerly beautiful woman now blind and with a disfigured face. We hear about that. It's horrific. It's outrageous. We're grieved over it. How can women be treated like this? It's the 21st century, and yet we live with every day. We celebrate. We parade around the sexploitation of women in America every single day. What in the world is going on? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday on The Line of Fire, World View Wednesday, as we focus on the society, what's happening in the world, always from a biblical perspective, always bringing courage, encouragement, and hope. Just looking at something that was posted maybe 6 weeks ago, just noticed it again. And a woman named Robin said, "I've been listening almost every day for a year now and have to say that Dr. Brown is an inspiration to me." What a blessing to hear that. I'm not going to drag you down today. I want to encourage you. We have a special guest that will be coming on. But I do want to serve as your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I want to draw attention to what we can do as children of the light. I want to be a voice of awakening, a trumpet blast that awakens us from our stupor, be it the constant bombardment of smut at checkout counters at groceries for decades now, be it the constant bombardment of smut on the internet. How many times have you gone to a page, a news page or something else, for me sometimes a sports page, and whatever it is, you get confronted with stuff you weren't looking for, you didn't expect to see, you weren't looking for bad stuff, but boom, there it is. And then more and more and more coming our way, more and more smut in the TV airwaves. No, I'm not watching it, but I hear reports of it, and sometimes I see an ad, look away. What in the world is this? Yeah, I know it's been going on for a while, but it continues to degenerate, and we need to step back and talk about why women are just being treated by so many as sexual objects, and why so many women feel pressure to dress a certain way and to look a certain way. I'm talking about even believing women. In fact, I wonder about this. And if you want to call in anonymously, you don't even want to give your name or where you're from, that's fine. But if you're a woman in the Lord, a believer, and you feel pressure that you need to dress a certain way and you need to look a certain way because of the pressure of the society that's on you in this whole glamour sex thing, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dawn Hawkins, who's the Executive Director for Morality in Media and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. And Dawn leads a coalition of 284 groups working to end sexual exploitation. So Dawn will be telling us some practical things that we can do to take a stand, to do what's right. A whole lot more coming your way this day. 866-348-7884.
Change the world. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The National Center on Sexual Exploitation launching a campaign against the film called 50 Shades is Abuse, saying the movie glamorizes violence against women.
When you strip away the glitz, glamour, the power, the fancy suits, the fancy soundtrack to the film, this is really just a movie about domestic violence and abuse against women.
That's the voice of Dawn Hawkins. I began to introduce her at the end of the last segment. My article that'll be out tonight on World Lit Daily is entitled The Sexploitation of Women, where I talk about the fact that around the world we're outraged by exploitation of women and rape with impunity and acid attacks and all these things. And yet somehow in America, we celebrate the sexploitation of women, and now in a perverse film celebrating all types of, well, how far away is it from sexual slavery and all the degrading junk with it. I'm so pleased to see that the voice of Dawn Hawkins and Morality and Media is getting to more and more people. Her articles are getting more and more distribution. Her appearances are being heard by more and more people. It's my pleasure to welcome for the first time Dawn to The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dawn.
Thank you for covering this.
Oh, by all means, absolutely. Could you let our listeners know how you took this on yourself, why you've gotten involved in such an unpleasant and difficult business?
Particularly against 50 Shades of Grey or against pornography and exploitation?
Oh, just the larger Morality and Media and standing up on these issues. And then, of course, we can talk about the 50 Shades issue.
Well, I can just say that I've seen that there's a pandemic of harm coming from pornography. We're really at a public health crisis with increased rates of violence, increased sex trafficking, increased child sexual abuse. And I see pornography really as the root cause of much of that. And I wanted to do something to fight back. So we're working on bringing together all of the research and what the experts say, the stories that prove that these different forms of exploitation are really they're very connected, and pornography is kind of fueling and is weaving them all together. So that's what we do. We try to change policy and educate the public and help them find resources to overcome the struggle.
All right. We have heard over the years, we probably hear it a little bit less now, but we've heard over the years that pornography is a victimless crime, which is an utterly bizarre, self-centered, an incorrect statement. But for those that might think, hey, pornography is a victimless crime, please speak to that.
Well, I don't even know where to start with that, because pornography changes the brain for the users involved. I mean, there are significant individual consequences for those looking at it. It changes their sexual template. It affects their real-life relationships. But then moving on from that, many of the performers in pornography are coerced against their will. They're trafficked for the production of pornography. Many people who are viewing pornography seek to act it out. So there's increased pressure in marriages and relationships, but then there's also increased demand for prostituted and trafficked women and children. We're seeing children are exposed to this material. It's become so mainstream that, like, I just was at Barnes & Noble, and this new Sports Illustrated is right when you walk in, right next to the Teen Girl magazine. I mean, young girls are going to see this, frankly, the pornography, and that's what they're aspiring to be, you know, objects. They're aspiring to be able to just make men happy in a sexual way instead of being independent, strong women themselves.
Yeah, and we posted your petition on our Facebook page, which has about 85,000 active folks on it, and encourage them to sign it.
You.
And we'll be getting word out on the show as well. Because look, every little thing we do does make a difference. Do you happen to know the average age that kids are getting exposed to pornography now through internet?
Sure. The statistic that everybody uses is that by age 10 in America, kids are being exposed to hardcore pornography. But the reality is, as you talk to therapists, teachers, people who are in touch with kids, they would say that that age is really closer to 7 or 8 in America. We need, we're in dire need of updated statistics and research on it. But the people that I'm in touch with, they're supposed to before age 10. Imagine the significance to their future developing their own sexual templates, the future relationships and families that they're going to have.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's inconceivable to me to think of this, kids being exposed at this young an age. I was a product of the 60s counterculture revolution. I was a heavy drug user in my teen years before I got born again following Jesus in 1971. But the type of stuff that I assume is readily available on the internet and some little kid can stumble on is stuff we wouldn't have known where to find when we were doing drugs 40-something years ago. I mean, it's such a shift in exposure that it's almost mind-boggling. So now we have not just the pervasive availability of pornography on internet, but the continual sexualization, TV shows, the more and more nudity. You want to get famous, you put out a sex tape or something like that. As you have been watching this, and Morality and Media has been watching this for years, am I exaggerating that things continue to really take a downward spiral? Is it, you know, the sky's falling kind of mentality, or are you tracking this, that things are really degenerating?
No, they really are getting worse. And the nature of pornography is that our brains become bored and desensitized, and so we seek harder materials. That's why pornography today is nothing like Playboy was in the 1960s. I mean, we're opposed to Playboy, too. But pornography today is very deviant, very violent. And I'll tell you that the statistics just came in. One of the top porn websites, most popular in the world, they compile statistics each year about what people are searching. And they said that the number one search term that people were searching for pornography was the word teen. I mean, that doesn't show you that the nature of this has changed tremendously, where people are looking up pseudo child pornography.
Oh gosh.
Not just pictures of topless women. I mean, the majority of what's out there now is extremely hardcore and violent, and it is made to get men hooked on younger and younger women.
Extraordinary. As you're talking, though, you're speaking with clarity, you're speaking with courage, you're not about to throw in the towel. What gives you confidence that we can stand and be agents of change?
Well, I can say it to your audience, which I don't have the opportunity to say all the time, but I would say I have courage from God. This is the hardest work I've ever done. I never wanted to be the person fighting against pornography, but I think God has opened the doors and opened my mouth. So
practically speaking, let's just tackle one thing, and then we'll, if you can just give us a few more minutes, we'll focus on the 50 Shades of Grey and all of that. And obviously a lot to talk about in that regard in terms of degradation. Let's just take the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. I've told folks, and we've done this in the past, when you hate to say when something crosses a certain line, because every bikini-clad picture is sending out a certain image that's what women need to look like, and that's what women are for, and you don't need that plastered in front of you at the checkout counters. But let's say certain things go even further. So I've encouraged listeners over the years, I've done it myself, just politely taken the magazine, gone up to the manager and said, hey, you think this is appropriate? We got kids, families here, it's degrading to women. And most of the time, the stores I've shopped in, especially the local chains, they're happy to remove it. But what can folks do? Where do they go, a website where they can sign something and send a message to the large national chains about this?
Yeah, go to our website, endsexualexploitation.org, and you're able to send emails to, like, the CEOs of Walmart, Target, Safeway, Walgreens, and a couple others. But the best thing that you could do, which does take courage, is to take it up to the manager and talk to them, because what we're learning is that the managers have to report customer feedback up the chain, and so it gets to corporate headquarters, and that's really where the change will be made. So I'm encouraging people, first and foremost, to go to their managers and say something to them, and to send and to make sure to follow up with us. But we also invite you to send just a super, takes 1 second to send the email that we've already prepared to the CEOs and presidents of these major retailers.
All right, and
endsexualexploitation.org.
Endsexualexploitation.org. sign the petition as I did. And again, we've done this over the years, just as you said, go to the managers. We've had some thank us because they were waiting for a complaint and they removed things. So, and here's the other thing. It gets you thinking, especially the men, gets you thinking about your own heart, your own life. How are you living? It encourages the women to stand for women's dignity. It opens up often gospel witnesses with the manager, and it can't hurt. Even if they say no, you are being an agent of change, and enough voices will bring about change. All right, we'll be right back with Dawn Hawkins, and we'll talk about the latest craze. How can it be? 21st century. We need awakening.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You may have heard of BDSM, but with all of the 50 Shades of Grey craze, and it's sort of getting a lot of attention right now. The idea of using power and control and pain in a sex scene understandably sets off alarms in some people's heads. They hear that BDSM involves spanking and pain and torture. Oh my god, scary stuff! With no further knowledge, it's easy to conflate BDSM with abuse. BDSM relies upon and creates trust. Abuse destroys trust.
That is a clip from Lacey Green and Planned Parenthood of Northern New England. It is from November 14th, 2012, dispelling wrong notions about all types of sadomasochism. What kind of world and society are we living in? Is this the inevitable slide that you go on when you celebrate sexploitation of women and others? 866-34-TRUTH. My guest, Dawn Hawkins, Executive Director for Morality in Media and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. As we told you earlier in the broadcast, Dawn leads a coalition of 284 groups working to end sexual exploitation. Dawn, so like others, I begin to hear news about this book that's selling like wildfire and 100 million copies in 50 languages, and women are reading this book and then hear about the context, sadomasochism, and that I only found out the author was a woman the other day. I followed it from that much of a distance, thinking, what in the world are we talking about? This 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, now a movie coming out. Dawn, as you've watched things, are you surprised to see this fad, or is it one of these things you shake your head and say, we've been telling you, we've been warning you?
No, I mean, we've been around for 52 years telling people that this is what's going to happen if we don't do something to stop the pornography from taking over our culture. And sadly, that's what we're seeing. But there is hope. I think more and more people are realizing, you know, right now we're at a crisis with increased sexual violence in our colleges, in our militaries, in families and on the streets, and finally everybody is wanting to do something to stop that. And so as people start to realize, well, look, that's what happens when you make violence sexy, that's what happens when you let pornography become normalized and mainstream, I think we can expect more people to be wanting to fight against it. Also, more and more people are hurt by this. Almost every family in America has been touched by the harms of pornography, or they're worried about it. So I think that things will change. Not hopeless, and I think we can help turn the tide, but this is why we have what we have right now.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I end my article that'll be out tonight, my weekly article on WorldNet Daily on the sexploitation of women. I end up saying that oftentimes you don't wake up until you hit bottom, and we're rapidly crashing towards bottom. Right. Look, I cannot imagine that your average married couple, your average wife is going to welcome things like this, or she's going to welcome, and hopefully your average husband isn't, but let's just say that the men are going to lead the way or get more into this or be more into pornography. You have enough issues with women being degraded and now expected to perform and mimic what porn stars do, and you know what happened to love and commitment and intimacy. now you're going to bring these other perversions in. There has to be a backlash at a certain point. You just can't keep going downward. And I'm reading headlines online, you know, sex toy injuries skyrocketing. Think, what in the world is going on? Again, we've sought to sound the alarm as well and wake up believers within the church, because sad to say, as you know, this is a problem within the church as well, is it not?
Well, it's a huge problem within the church. I mean, a lot of the readers of 50 Shades of Grey, for example, are Christian women. And we know that a lot of Christian men are consumers of pornography. Need the church to step up and to address these issues and to talk about them and about what the consequences of these unhealthy practices. I think you're right that women will step up and fight against this, but only after hitting a little bit lower. We've got Oprah, we have Dr. Phil, we have the Today Show telling women to try these things in their marriages to help spice things up. And many women are going to accept and take and follow that advice, only to find that it's only hurting them and that they're losing equality and power. And I think I'm here sharing the scream from the mountaintops, telling women to wake up and don't follow this advice. Stand up for yourself, stand up for your dignity and your worth. But I expect people will follow leaders like Oprah and Dr. Phil.
Yeah, and of course, as you say, pornography, these things, they desensitize, they become addicting. And it's the nature of sin that sin doesn't satisfy. It leads to more sins, then it leads to worse sins, and then it enslaves. And then at that point, people really have to cry out. What we need to do is obviously get our own houses in order within the church, and then have an environment where people can come freely and say, we're struggling. What concerns me, of course, is we know one thing leads to another, and the addictions and what used to excite doesn't anymore. So you have that downward spiral. But all the more do we need awakening. Dawn, if you ever need to shout something out, if there's an issue you want to raise, be it a campaign that you're on or something you want to make people aware of or a petition that needs to be signed and you need to shout out to a national audience, just let us know, and we will do our best to amplify your voice. And thank God for the many open doors you have. It's the bad news is the good news. You're probably getting more calls than ever.
You're exactly right, and we appreciate your help and support.
Oh, absolutely. Give us the website one more time where people can go to sign the petition regarding Sports Illustrated.
EndSexualExploitation.org.
All right, friends, Dawn Hawkins from Morality and Media and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. God is with you, Dawn, and we are standing with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, we will. All right, friends, I want to get your calls. Stay right there. We've got an hour and a half more of radio, those that will be signing off. Remember, you can get the whole broadcast later today. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Yeah, and I'm sure there's male sexual exploitation as well. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from you. And let me ask you in a heartfelt way to stand with us. We are on the front lines. We are going for it every way that we know how. We are stretched out. Every so often we hit some major unexpected bumps in the road where there's severe financial pressure that comes our way. And it's you, our faithful friends, our listeners, our supporters who stand with us in prayer. It's all about ministry. It's not about making anyone rich. It's not about making anyone's name. It's all about the work of ministry. And you are our helpers and our support team. Would you pray? Maybe if you're a couple, would you pray together, an individual pray? If you could help us, every gift, large and small, makes a great difference, holds our hands up as we stand as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. To stand with us with a one-time gift or to become a monthly supporter or torchbearer, call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. When you're there, just click on donate. Also, check out this week's special resource offer that will really help and equip you forward in faith in Jesus' name.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me put this question out again. Let me put this question out once more, and then I'm going to go right to the phones. If you're a woman listening, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, and you feel pressure from the society, maybe from other believers, or just from the media, that you have to dress a certain way and look a certain way, that's just the pressure on you as a woman. Even though you're a believer, you still feel that. I'd be curious to know, and if you'd rather not give your name or where you're from, that's perfectly fine. 866-348-7884. Let's start in Otisville, Maine. Tricia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share with you that in Portland, Maine, they are allowing women to go topless, and this is public, anywhere they want to go. And it's upsetting to bring your children over to the park, and they have a splash pool, and you know, women are going to walk around topless, and that's okay for them. It's legal.
Yeah, I've heard about that, and is it about to be enacted right now?
It's already enacted. It's been a couple of years now.
Really? And what else is Portland known for as far as morality or lack of morality?
Well, it used to be a lot more stores and such open, but now it's basically a hangout for a lot of street people, and it's a shame because it's a beautiful, beautiful city right on the ocean.
Mm. You know what's interesting?
There are nightclubs and such, but not too many. Down at the Old Port, there are some great restaurants, but mostly tourists.
And how common is it to be out there and to see topless women? It's.
Well, I don't live in Portland anymore. I've been up here for about 20 years.
Got
so
it.
I rarely get to Portland, but some people that I know say that they have actually participated in it. And it's hard to believe that you're going to bring your kids uptown and pass by a bunch of people that are just out there naked.
It is hard to believe if you picture those that settled New England centuries ago thinking that we'd be dealing with these issues. I'm just looking at a chart here of Bible-minded cities, which are the most Bible-minded, the least Bible-minded, according to some recent surveys. And Portland/Auburn, Maine, was number 88 out of 100 in terms of least Bible-minded. Again, that's not a surprise. Where is it? I'm just trying to think. No, that's a different city. Listen, we need awakening, Tricia. It's, again, just part of the descent into decadence of our society, and it never helps. This never enhances life, enhances marriage, enhances family, enhances the image of men and women. And the purpose of clothes, as someone once said, is to cover things up, not to expose them. Someone once suggested that a woman's clothes should draw attention to her face. This is obviously a very different philosophy. May God strengthen the believers there. May God give you wisdom to keep your own lives pure in the midst of increasing pollution. And all the more, we need to be on our faces praying for revival, living holy lives ourselves as a counterculture people. God can bring awakening. Hey, I've got to run, got to break. God can bring awakening, but it's going to come as people are desperate. So strength and encouragement to our friends there. We are so thrilled to be on the air now on a regular basis in your neck of the woods. By the way, and thank you for the call, Tricia. Much appreciated. Why not become a supporter? We are listener-sponsored, 100% listener-sponsored. That's how we do what we do. If you're listening to this broadcast right now in Maine, in Rhode Island, why not join our support team? Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click Donate. Become a monthly supporter.
Fire we want, for fire we plead. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. We're talking about sexploitation of women. We're talking about standing for morality, rising up within our own homes. Look, when you hear these shocking figures that kids are exposed to hardcore porn at the age of 8 online, it's mind-boggling. What effect does that have on them? They don't even understand sexuality. Now they come into sexuality with these perversions, with these images. What effect does it have on women being abused? What effect does it have in terms of the degradation of men who give themselves to this? And then you have all these tens of millions, 100 million plus, reading a book, professing Christian women, reading a book on sadomasochism, 50 Shades of Grey. Yes, we need awakening, friends. You say, well, the world's always messed up. It's gotten more messed up in this generation, no doubt about it, in many ways. While there's progress and the gospel continues to spread and lives continue to be touched, thank God for that. But we need to live with a sense of urgency, a sense of vigilance, a sense of pressing in, a sense of purifying our own hearts and lives so that we are not hypocrites, that the light that shines out of us is pure. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. Centerville, Virginia. Eric, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How are you doing today, sir?
Very well, thank you.
I appreciate your talking time. As far as I'm concerned, it kind of goes to men, too, because the whole porn thing, you know, women kind of see that man as some kind of man, too. Not necessarily in a negative sense, but men are expected to look that certain way.
Got it. Yeah, I guess there is that pressure. Come to think of it, yeah, you hear all these ads. Sometimes I'll be driving in the car with radio on, and there'll be some kind of ad for male enhancement or those kids listening, don't worry, just about asking questions. That's why I'm trying to use certain generic terms here. Where's all that coming from? You've got to be this certain way. It's perverse. It's all perverse. We need to not lose our sensitivity. If all I do is get you realizing how perverse these things are, if all I do is get you stirred to say, okay, America's messed up, society's messed up, so we pray with more urgency, and so we share the gospel with more urgency, and so we seek to live lives that are more pure before the Lord with his help and with his grace as a reflection of the purity of his love. Thank you, Eric, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Warwick, Rhode Island. D, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I'm responding to the question about do Christian women feel pressured to dress a certain way because of the culture?
Yes.
And because of God's standard, I would say no. And my analogy is, if you could think of the most disgusting food that you can imagine, could someone tempt you to eat it? Could they give you any amount of reward to eat it? And I most people would say no. If it disgusts you enough, you couldn't do it. And I think that God's standard sets something up for us women, and we don't even want to go there. So I don't feel pressured at all.
Well, Dee, God bless you, and I wish every Christian woman in America felt the way you felt, because obviously I'm with you 100%. This is degrading. It's like offering someone that's perfectly happy eating healthy food, offering them a bottle of mud to drink. You're 100% right. God's ways are ways of life. God's ways are ways of beauty. God's ways ultimately enhance our self-esteem once we come to know the Lord and turn from our sins, whereas the ways of the enemy destroy and degrade. And here you got some woman with children and she's still stripping her clothes off. You think, well, how does that enhance your motherhood? How does that enhance your womanhood? It's perverse. Unfortunately, many women don't see it as you do, either in their own insecurity or because of a godless male culture around them or compromised church standards. And they feel they've got to, being healthy is one thing, But you have to have this perfect figure, and you have to look like this, and just dress. Or people don't even realize that the dress gets more and more compromised because it's compared to something not as wrong. But God help godly women of America to live out godly lives and to have the perspective Dee has. Dee, how long have you been following Jesus?
Since I was a youth.
Got it. So these things have been instilled in you over the years.
When you were
say in youth group, did you see other kids that weren't as stable in the Lord struggling with the pull of the world?
A lot of them did get pregnant. The girls in my youth group were getting pregnant.
In
so
church.
I see that at the church, yeah.
Yeah, well, all the more reason that we raise these issues. Let me ask this last question, Dee. Would you say, well, if you had to analyze it, if you had to analyze it, what would you say was the biggest reason that they fell into sin?
I guess the kids need their parents' attention, and they need to be doing positive activities and have a lot of family time. And I think that those girls were missing that.
Mm.
So they found belonging and they found love in the wrong place.
Yeah,
that's my take on it.
Yeah, that's a sad and perceptive at the same time observation. You know, obviously, if kids are really solidly grounded in Jesus, really know him well, then it's going to be a lot harder to pull them away. But many times it's not the case. And then sometimes parents and their busyness think that it's the role of the youth group or the church to disciple their kids. So that lack of solid grounding in Jesus and that lack of solid family life makes them much more vulnerable. But there's pressure even from, you know, a so-called Christian boyfriend to do certain things. But thank you for your witness and testimony. And thank God for the many godly women throughout America, young and old, that go against the grain of the culture. They're beautiful and they're godly at one and the same time. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. I am going to share some crazy news with you in a moment, but I just want to take a little more time on this issue. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you do, friends, when you hear a caller who's obviously solidly committed to the Lord and can't relate to being tempted to dress like the world as a follower of Jesus, and yet she's telling you in the youth group when she was in church, she's telling you that there were girls who got pregnant? I mean, think about it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Leslie in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I just started hearing the radio right now.
Yeah.
And it also happens in church, because I go to a Pentecostal church.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel pressured. I feel like I need to dress a certain way to fit in with them. And like them wearing skirts every single day, you can wear pants and all of this. And
In other words, the legalism the other way.
Yes.
Got it. You know, it's I teach a class every year or every other year on holiness to our students at our ministry school. And last week was our week to talk about legalism and externally imposed religion. And, you know, here's the thing that's interesting, Leslie. You can understand how it comes about, because the world gets so worldly and you want to be godly, so you kind of go the other way. You know, let's just say before you were saved, you wore short, seductive miniskirts, and then you get saved, now you wear these really modest skirts. But what you can now do is the worse the world gets, the longer the skirts get, so you're not holy unless they're down to the ankle. Whereas the big thing is if people change on the inside, if they can be changed on the inside, then there'll be godliness and modesty on the outside, as opposed to just setting up a bunch of rules and standards.
Yes, it's like I get kind of like discussions with some of the sisters in the congregation, and I'm like, what's the whole point of wearing a long skirt up to my ankles if my heart is, I don't have love in my heart.
Yeah, or you're full of gossip. It's okay to gossip about the other ladies at the church as long as you wear a long skirt. Or the men can think lustful thoughts as long as they don't wear a wedding ring, because that's jewelry. Right, there is that hypocrisy, and what we have to do, you're 100% right, is cultivate personal relationship with God, out of which a life of holiness will flow. So legalism is not the answer to license. Holiness is, hey, got a break, but I'm so glad you called. It's an important dimension to add in. God bless you, Leslie. All right, right back with your calls. Stay right there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. I said there was something crazy I was going to report to you. Let me do that before I go back to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. A couple years ago, I had the profound honor of being put on a ridiculous list by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which used to do very noble and important work in exposing racism and neo-Nazi groups and those kinds of things. Now one of their big targets is people like me, believers in Jesus who hold to biblical values. So I had the profound honor of being put on a list by the SPLC, which criminology professor Mike Adams has rebranded the Intellectual Poverty Law Center because of the nature of their work, sad to say. So I got put on their list of 30 new leaders of the radical right. I'm still on their extremist page. So, I mean, honestly, it's an honor, although I know this stuff can be used against us. It is an honor, and it's a badge of doing the right thing before the Lord. Well, you know who just got put on their list as an extremist? Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson is now on the SPLC's extremist list. You want to hear one of his terrible, terrible quotes? If we can redefine marriage as between two men or two women or any other way based on social pressures as opposed to between a man and woman, we will continue to redefine it in any way that we wish, which is a slippery slope with a disastrous ending as witnessed in the dramatic fall of the Roman Empire. That quote, among others, has him on their extremist list. Maybe I'll come back to that next hour. Again, if you miss any part of the broadcast, just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest broadcast. Also, be sure to watch tonight. We'll be posting my latest article on the sexploitation of women, probably somewhere between 8 and 9 tonight. You'll be able to read that. Let's go to Stephanie in Olney, Maryland. Stephanie, we used to live on McDuff Avenue in Olney, Maryland from 1987 to right at the beginning of 1996.
Oh, okay. I've been out here about 5 years.
All right. Yeah, so we were there as it was getting built up. In fact, where we used to live years before that was just empty fields where cattle would range that some of the local barn owners owned. So, yeah, Olney's come a long way. But anyway, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. I was just given a call. Number one, I'm definitely going to listen to your sex exploitation conference tonight at 8 o'clock. And I was listening to some of the comments and, you know, in reference to the church and, you know, I guess how we're being fashioned with the world, which I find to be true. And I guess the sexual pressures or conversion or perversions that's being, you know, I guess duplicated by the Christian families, and, you know, it is being done. And I know I was listening to a little bit of, I guess you had a voicemail of a prior show. You were talking to a young lady who deals with hypocrisy, And because you can actually work in a church or come to a church, and it's just like reading a book. It's not in your heart. And so you're coming in with your fleshly ways, and it's just a routine for you, an outlet to socialize, and we can't turn anybody away. But, yeah. You know, like you said, he'll bring up the weed and the plant together. And so definitely, like even in my own family, when we leave church, can we talk as a Christian family? You know, that's the end of it. You know, not until we attend church again. You know, and it's causing some issues in the home. You know, because even like sexual exploitation, can we talk about some different issues that's going on with the children? And as soon as you go to talk about it, not just even in the network, it's like, okay, you're being a Jezebel, you're being promiscuous, having these type of conversations. So where are we going to talk about it? I got to wake up and hear, you know, it on the radio and call in a radio station that someone's actually addressing these issues.
Yeah, absolutely, Stephanie. It's a superficiality of our spirituality. It is a lack of recognition that the gospel affects all of our lives. It's a lack of sense of urgency with all the junk around us. And sometimes if people don't want to talk about it, it's because they don't want to deal with it. They get do their religious duty on a weekly basis. And then don't talk to me about this, just like if I don't want to change my diet, you know, years ago when I didn't want to change it, don't talk to me about it. I'd rather not hear it. So may the Lord bring a stirring in your family and your friends around you so that people realize we have to talk about it. Yeah, in your church. Amen. In your church. May it be so.
I hit home there because Nancy is there. If you're not with the in crowd, if you're not, out here in Olney, I mean, the average is making about $100,000. I'm not saying we don't fall in that bracket, but the reality is when you get on, you know, and I understand marketing. I understand, you know, people's hypocrisy. We want to make it look like it's lucrative. We want you to take a bite. We want you to come in for a minute and get the word and learn about God and Jesus. I understand that because
the science. Here's the only marketing we need, Stephanie, and I've been preaching for 40 years now. Is exalting Jesus, and when Jesus is being exalted and lives are being changed and the Holy Spirit's moving, people will come, and the ones who come will ultimately be serious. Hey, thank you for the call. Short on time. By the way, we weren't making that money either when we lived in Olney, but thank you for the call. Gail in Boston, time short, but I wanted to get your call. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to give you a heads up on what true love really is. My husband and I have been married for decades. And I got to tell you that our love grows each day stronger and stronger. And the reason why I believe that is we don't get into a fantasy world of sex. It's not real. Nobody can achieve or perform like that on a daily basis. It's garbage. It's satanic. I really believe it's satanic, and a lot of people are being led down the wrong way. My husband and I, when we walk up the street, we're just being ourselves, and people will stop us and say, "You are the two most beautiful people that I have ever seen." And I got to tell you, I'm in my 70s, and that's
true love. That's true. What, Gail? What a wonderful word for our listeners, especially younger listeners. Nancy and I, going on 39 years of marriage and basically right around the 60 age. And so your testimony even shines a decade plus beyond us. But that's beauty. That's fulfillment. That's the way God intended relationships to be. And that's a reminder that can be maintained with blessing and intimacy for decades with a beauty that radiates. The other stuff is a deception. And it is destructive, and it is not the way to satisfaction. Thank you for the call. I'm so glad we were able to talk to you before the hour was out. Again, visit the website, AskDrBrown.org. Take advantage of the resources. Stand with us as a partner. My bottom line, pornography, sexual degradation, they may excite for a moment. They do not satisfy. They will not lift you up. They will only drag you down. Is it true that the president lied about his views on same-sex marriage so as to secure the vote of black voters?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, I hate to say we told you about this a couple plus years ago. Now it is big news. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. I am delighted to be with you today. I'm thrilled to have this opportunity to spend an hour together. This is our second hour broadcasting. First hour, we had a great guest on, Dawn Hawkins, Morality in Media, talking with me about sexploitation of women, pornography, the effect on the culture, now the latest perversion with 50 Shades of Grey, the book and the movie. If you don't know about it, more power to you. God bless you. I have an article coming out tonight on the sexploitation of women, where I address the fact that it's so hypocritical and perverse that we're outraged with the abuse of women in other countries and cultures, and we hear about women being raped with impunity and acid attacks on women who reject their suitors, whereas here we exploit women in a whole other way, and women give themselves to it. That article will be posted around 8 tonight, so you can check that out by going to AskDrBrown.org, checking out latest articles. Just wait, we'll be sending word out on Facebook and Twitter. I'm going to change subjects. I just touched on this last hour, but I want to return to it now. The latest to be added to the extremist list. I think, Matt, we're going to need some kind of special musical introduction to use for announcements like this. The latest addition to the Southern Poverty Law Center's extremist list. Are you ready? Are you ready? It is Dr. Ben Carson. Yep. One of the most respected Christian leaders, medical doctors, godly examples, potential presidential candidate, Johns Hopkins University, esteemed medical leader. Dr. Ben Carson has been placed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's extremist list. Do they realize that they are mocking themselves the more people they put on this list? The feeble attempt that they made to make me into this dangerous extremist. Oh, let me be dangerous to the devil. Let me be dangerous to the kingdom of Satan. But that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about dangerous in a whole other way, radical in a whole other way, like a neo-Nazi or like KKK. When I was put on their list a couple years ago, which I challenged them on the one hand, exposing their hypocrisy. But at the same time, I thanked them for making my night when they did it, because to me it's an honor to be slandered by someone so filled with the spirit of this age. And the good work they used to do, shame that they're known for other things now. And they got a whole lot of money to back these other endeavors. But the feeble attempt they made to cast me in this way, said, well, I'm not like the others, you know, but they still have me on the same list with the former leader of the New Black Panthers and the former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis and others. Again, I was honored in Jesus to be maligned. But the latest on the list, Dr. Ben Carson, and his speaking out against. Here's a quote. Obamacare is really the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery, and in a way it is slavery. Extremist! Maybe is a retired neurosurgeon, utterly immersed in the medical profession. He has reason for saying what he says. He's also a black man. Yeah. Anyway, we'll come back and talk about President Obama. I wrote about this a couple years ago. I don't know why it's news today, but it is. We'll be right back.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am not a Barack Obama basher. I am not a conservative radio host on a political talk radio show. I am a gospel-based, Bible-based follower of Jesus radio host on Christian radio shows who is a moral conservative because of my beliefs. And for every 100 or 1,000 stories that are posted in the news and online bashing the president, I may address an issue 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000. And those who listen regularly know that to be the case. But I will tell the truth when I'm burdened to. And if the president does something praiseworthy that gets my attention, I will address that. But I'm not just going to try to say something positive every day. And it doesn't matter what party's in office, Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter what the person's ethnicity or color of their skin. I'm looking at issues. I'm looking at right and wrong before God. 866-34-TRUTH. So I'm going to be truthful now. I wrote about this in an article over 2 years ago called Equivocating or Evolving, President Obama is Wrong Either Way. And I wrote this. We know the story well. Barack Obama was for same-sex, quote, marriage in 1996, before he was against it in 2004, before he was for it in 2012, although in 2008, he was apparently for it and against it, although mainly against it. Based, however, on his strong support for gay activism during his against years, it seems clear that he was equivocating in his public opposition to same-sex, quote, marriage. In other words, he was not telling you the truth. Why? Because he wanted your vote. And he especially felt, according to David Axelrod, his number one political advisor for years and a close confidant to Barack Obama, he wanted the vote of black Americans fully expectantly, naturally. It was a great moment for African Americans to see an African American family in the White House. Absolutely. I wished I could have cheered for it, but I couldn't because I felt he would be the very president he would be on these key moral and social issues. I felt he would be the most radical pro-abortion president we ever had. Sadly, he has been. I felt he would be the most radically gay activist president we've ever had. Sadly, that's exactly what he has been. And I was concerned about where he would stand with Israel. And I must say that is probably even worse than I expected with the terrible rift between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Why did I feel so strongly that he would be the president he was in terms of gay activist issues? Because of previous statements he had made. Because of statements he had made when he was much less well-known. Because of letters that he wrote to gay activist leaders and organizations. We read them to you while he was in the primaries. I was first on radio daily just a few months before the primaries began for the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, when it was President, then simply Senator Obama versus Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton. And we posted it for people, a letter that he wrote to a gay activist organization, a Democratic club, I believe in San Francisco, where he laid out clearly where his goals were. It was no mystery. And in fact, one black sister called in and she said she was frustrated over this, because she sat down with her friends and said, would you vote for someone who held to this, 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 and this, dealing with these exact issues? And her friend said, no, we wouldn't. And she said, well, that is what Barack Obama holds to. And they said, we don't believe you. We don't believe you. So she tried a different tactic. She got a copy of this particular letter. She printed the letter out. Now please hear me. Except for the most upright politicians deceive, all right? I'm sure they're conservative politicians, white politicians that lie to get white votes, to get white evangelical votes. Unless they are godly people of integrity, they present things in a certain way or they outright lie. And I'm sure you have Hispanic politicians that do it, unless they are men and women of integrity, whether they're believers or not. They're men and women of integrity. This is not a white thing or a black thing or a conservative thing or a liberal thing or a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. This is the nature of politics. This is the nature of politics if people are not rightly following the Lord or not walking in sufficient integrity. So I'm just telling you behind the scenes here. So this woman then, again, African-American Christian woman, she printed up a copy of this letter, which was one piece of evidence. She copied it and read it to her friend and said, would you vote for someone who held to that? No. She said, look, this is his own letter. And they said to her, you can't believe what the media tells you. And she called in and said, Dr. Brown, this is a spiritual stronghold. We have to pray against it. And again, every group has a different stronghold. Okay, we all have our issues. We all have our problems. We all have our blind spots. I'm simply telling you that David Axelrod is now saying in a book that President Obama, before he was president and then in the earlier part of his presidency, lied about his views concerning redefinition of marriage, same-sex so-called marriage. He lied about it because he wanted the votes of black Americans. I have no reason to doubt that, and I'll give you the evidence in a moment. And perhaps the most striking evidence is President Obama mildly denying it. Perhaps that's the most striking, shocking evidence of all, that he mildly denies it. Are you hearing me? That he says, well, actually, I did have personal views versus policy views. No, sir. You told us something very, very different. All right, let's look at this. 1996. I wrote this in 2012, and I said, it is now common knowledge that he responded to questions posed by the Outline newspaper in 1996 by stating plainly that, quote, this is Barack Obama, 1996, I favor legalizing same-sex marriages and would fight efforts to prohibit such marriages. That's what he put in writing in answer to a questionnaire. All right? I was aware of it. I wrote about it over 2 years ago. Others had been publicizing it before me. The article I wrote and others got decent circulation. It's not as if this was done in a corner and nobody ever found out about it. And I talked about it on the air as well. No, I'm not Rush Limbaugh in terms of a national audience. I'm not speaking to the whole nation every time I write an article. I'm not on TV every day. I understand that. But I was one voice of many talking about this. All right. 2004, he said, my religious faith dictates marriages between a man and a woman. Gay marriage is not a civil right. Well, now he's running for more prominent office. Isn't that interesting? That didn't he have that religious faith in 1996? Or am I getting the chronology wrong? Here is basically a complete flip-flop. Then, 2008, he's in a presidential debate hosted by Rick Warren, and he states, I believe marriage is the union between a man and a woman. As a Christian, it's also a sacred union. Isn't that strong? Here, let me read 1996. I favor legalizing same-sex marriages and would fight efforts to prohibit such marriages. Then, 2008, I believe marriage is the union between a man and a woman. As a Christian, it's also a sacred union. That repeats what he said in 2004. Also in 2008, listen to this. In a letter to San Francisco's Alice B. Toklas Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Democratic Club, which that's the aforementioned letter I spoke of earlier in this segment, Obama wrote that he opposed, quote, the divisive and discriminatory efforts to amend the California Constitution with regard to marriage, which is quite an odd position for someone who could state that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. So are you hearing that? Those who were trying to get an amendment on the California Constitution saying marriage was the union of a man and woman, Barack Obama, the same year, he said, my religious faith dictates marriage is between a man and a woman. Gay marriage is not a civil right. That same year, he wrote to gay activists and said that he opposed the divisive and discriminatory efforts to amend the California Constitution to say that marriage was the union of a man and a woman. That's someone speaking out of two sides of his mouth. David Axelrod will tell you more, and then we'll hear what the president said in response. I hate to say I told you so. I'd much rather have something positive to say about our president.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. When I wrote my article in 2012 entitled Equivocating or Evolving, President Obama is Wrong Either Way, I demonstrated that we could fully expect him fully expect that he was not telling the truth and that he expressed his views a certain way in order to win certain voters, and that when he said his views have been evolving, we shouldn't believe it, because evolving would not mean that I was point A dogmatically, then I completely flip-flopped to point B dogmatically, and now I am even more dogmatically back on point A. No, that's equivocating or lying. That's being double-minded or lying. Evolving would be, you know, I was at A really strongly, and after a while I got to B, and then, you know, I finally arrived at C. That would be evolving. But I said, let's say that he was telling the truth when he said in 2010, my feelings about this are constantly evolving. I struggle with this. If that's the case, and he says that earlier, based on his religious faith, marriage is a union of a man and a woman. Then he turns around and says, based on his religious faith, marriage is the union of two men or two women. That concerns me even more deeply. So I'm going to link together his most salient statements in one long quote. I favor legalizing same-sex marriages and would fight efforts to prohibit such marriages. My religious faith dictates marriage is between a man and a woman. Gay marriage is not a civil right. I believe marriage is the union between a man and a woman. As a Christian, it's also a sacred union. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it's important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married. The thing at root that we think about is not only Christ sacrificing himself on our behalf, but it's also the golden rule. You know, treat others the way you would want to be treated. These are the words who today is the most influential political leader in the world, and yet his waffling on marriage, the marriage issue, is painful to behold. Now, what the president has said in response to David Axelrod is this. No. Here, let me tell you what David Axelrod has said in his book. Opposition to gay marriage was particularly strong in the black church. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. The black church has been much stronger on this issue than the white church. In fact, in 2008, what helped Proposition 8, the pro-marriage bill, preservation of marriage bill in California, what helped it pass was that there were more black voters than normal. So, strangely, they voted for President Obama's president. Well, I understand the idea of having a black president, what that would mean in the culture and society. I understand why there was tremendous desire to vote for Barack Obama. I wanted to as a white man, but I couldn't out of conscience. But these voters also voted for Proposition 8, saying marriage is the union of a man and woman. Well, Barack Obama said he stood for that at that time, but he was lying or he was being deceptive. David Axelrod says, opposition to gay marriage was particularly strong in the black church, and as he ran for higher office, he grudgingly accepted the counsel of more pragmatic folks like me and modified his position to support civil unions rather than marriage, which he would term, quote, a sacred union. And then he says, oh, I was behind the scenes. Axelrod said, I was behind the scenes, and I'm telling you, the whole time he was chafing, wanting to come out in favor of gay marriage. President Obama said this, no. Axelrod is mixing up my personal feelings with my position on the issue. I think the notion that somehow I was always in favor of a marriage per se isn't quite accurate. He's barely even denying the lie. He's confirming it. I told you so. And let me say this. My hearty commendation to Black Christians for consistently standing stronger on the issue of redefining marriage than many white Christians. And many Black evangelical leaders stood at the forefront, for example, in North Carolina, where I currently live, and in helping to pass the marriage amendment a couple years ago. And yet you have been duped by the president's words. It's a shame. And again, please hear me. White politicians dupe people, Hispanic politicians, everybody does it unless you really have deeper integrity. I'm just talking about an issue that's in the news, and here I am shaking my head. So this was our news 2+ years ago. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Betty, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for being the voice of truth. You truly call for such a time as this. I feel that we're living in the end time, even all the signs are there, but the people who went out and voted, either or, your vote has been compromised, okay? Your rights have been taken away from you. Which right will it be next, praying in your churches? You went out and voted against this. The vote should have, your vote should count. But in this episode, it doesn't. That's to frighten all of us. We are being threatened from this government. I love gay people. I just don't agree with the thing. Marriage was not made by man. Marriage was made by God. We are not God. We need to stop playing God. But people who hate the loved abortion, the Bible says, those who love death hate God. President Obama has always been a God hater. He's let little children lay out and die. People who have survived abortion. When he was a senator, he said, let that child die, even though it did survive. No kind of nourishment should be given to it. So he has done nothing to help black people. Nothing at all. Won't they look and see what he's done for the black people? Instead, he went out to Ferguson, Missouri, and incited race riots. May God have mercy on our country. I love all God's children and those who are not God's children, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And God bless you, Dr. Brown. You are the Jeremiah of this decade. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you, Betty. Thank you for your very clear words. And, yeah, it's troubling. It's so troubling, and may we live up to the high calling and walk worthy of it. But again, thank you, Betty, for your kind words. And I'm blessed to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution serving you. But since this was raised, it's so painful. The Partial Birth Abortion Act that would say if a baby was born, it was a botched abortion, or somehow the baby survived the abortion. So it just needs care. It has survived the abortion, and it just needs care. It needs medical care. It needs food and drink, and that baby has a chance of survival. How can anyone with a heart vote against that? Then Senator Barack Obama voted against it. It is a fact. It is an undeniable fact. It is a tragic fact. And that's one reason that no matter who he was running against, I couldn't have voted for him. I would have sat out an election or just put in a protest vote. But that was one reason. You say, has he repented of that? No, he has been the most aggressive pro-abortion president in our history. I could care less if he's Democrat, if he's green, if he's blue, if he's white, if he's black, if he's Republican, if he's Jewish. I could care less. These are issues. These are issues.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me say this again. If you are new to the broadcast, if you haven't been listening to me over the years, or if you catch a little bit here and there, you might think, who is this rabid political conservative white evangelical Republican bashing the president? That's not who I am. It's not who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus, speaking the truth, and sometimes that means speaking to the culture, to the powers that be, speaking the truth. Listen, I've been holding back on this, but I keep toying with it. I want to see a little bit further how things go with potential Republican presidential candidates. But if things don't go in a way of a clear candidate for righteousness, I will be writing about the need for a third party, even if it means sacrificing an election or two, because I put no trust in the Republican establishment. So I'm an equal opportunity offender in that respect. And I would have absolutely no problem taking issue with what a Republican did. And the color of skin is utterly immaterial to me. And the party issue is utterly immaterial to me. My dad was not a rabid, but a lifelong Democrat. He was active in the Democratic Club in New York City. Very, very liberal in his perspective. And if he was alive today, well, he'd be very, very old. He'd be like 100 years old. But if we had had enough years when he was suddenly taken in 77 at the age of 63, we would have had great political conversations and discussions. My family is all on the other side of these issues than I am, okay? But they're issues to me, and we do address them, and we will continue to address them. And it's important that people understand you were duped. And trust me, it happens to everybody. And how many times do white evangelical Christians vote for a candidate because he says, I'm going to do this and this and this, and then when he gets in office, we feel taken advantage of? It happens. It happens to all sides. I'm just telling you the truth because it's big news, and it's stuff that we've talked about previously. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Stephen, thank you so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Brown.
No, you bet.
I have a little issue. I did vote for Obama, and, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a long-time Christian. I've been saved since I was 12 years old, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I just don't have the notion of judging people because, you know, I don't feel like judgment is upon me or anybody else for that matter. So I feel like it should be a part of God's rule. It should be a part of God's say. It should be a part of God's judgment.
But doesn't light expose darkness? In other words, we have his statements in writing. We have him saying in 96 that he strongly opposed, that he wanted to redefine marriage and that two men or two women could marry as a civil right. We have now his closest political advisor saying that's how he always felt, and he changed his views to win black voters, and we have further documentation for it. So, and then he barely denies it. So to me, all it is light exposing darkness. It's not a matter of, I'm not sitting here judging your Christianity or your walk with the Lord or whether Barack Obama knows God or not. God knows that. But I am saying that he made statements. We have. He's now been exposed by a close political advisor, and he's barely denying it. Isn't that clear enough?
It is clear, but I do understand this. People are human. People make mistakes. People sin. I mean, we just naturally sin. It happens. But what I do believe is people can be forgiven by God. People can be turned around to the light. That's
absolutely
what I truly believe.
Absolutely. But here's now, the key thing, and I got to break, so I got to run, but thank you for the call. Of course, but he's not repenting. He is further lying or hiding truth. Or, of course, if he says, I blew it, I deceived, I lied, I forgive you that instant. I forgive you that split second. But if you continue sinning and denying, then repentance isn't there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to the phones. Again, if you're just tuning in, big news, David Axelrod, very close political advisor of President Obama, has said in an excerpt that has been released from his book, has said that indeed, when he shifted his views beginning in 2004 and then reiterated in 2008 that marriage was the union of a man and woman, that as a Christian, this was a sacred thing for him and that marriage was a sacred union. So he completely reversed his little-known position that was put in writing in 96, where he said that marriage between two men or two women was a civil right. And he would oppose all efforts to stop that, that he did it. He was lying. He did it so as to secure conservative black American voters. Please hear me. He understood that black Americans were more conservative in their family values than white Americans. That is a positive statement about black Americans, that there is more emphasis on family and more recognition of the meaning of marriage as the union of a man and woman. Now, every part of America is under attack, white, black, Hispanic, Native American, every ethnicity, every group's under attack. Marriages, families are under attack. But the president understood this. As a senator, he understood this and therefore changed his views. David Axelrod is telling us that he always held the same views privately, but he changed them publicly so as to win over the vote. Obviously, no mystery here. As I said before, you'll have a white Republican candidate who now is very spiritual and very religious. Why? Because he wants the white evangelical vote. And he may exaggerate that. I'm not speaking of specific individuals as much as it's something we have seen happen. Or it may not happen at the presidential level. It may happen on another level. Politicians do that. David Axelrod is confirming what we already told you and others told you a couple of years ago. And last point before I get back to the phones, President Obama's denial of this is utterly tepid. To say, well, it's confusing my private views from policy views. No, sir, you made yourself very clear about policy and about personal beliefs in 96 and then reversed it in 2004 and then said both things, one public, the other private, in 2008. That demonstrates the duplicity there. And on top of that, to go one step further, to finish out this last point, David Axelrod says that behind the scenes, he was always chafing at the bit to do what he wanted to do in terms of redefining marriage because he believed in it. You may say, well, he believed in it because he loves gay people. Fine. You may say he believed in it because he felt they were being hurt by society. Fine. Just admit that he always believed that. That's all. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Anthony, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. So one of the things that I would take or make an objection to is the claim that you make, Doctor, that African American and black churches and the black voters were duped. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm an officer in my church. We're a member of APCOS, American Baptist Churches of the South. We congress and associate with thousands of disciples of Christ and churches, and we talk about these issues on a regular basis. So we're not ignorant. And we make decisions based on the totality of a candidate as individual voters and certainly as individual disciples of Christ. To allege that President Obama duped the African-American black church and the African-American black voters lock, stock, and barrel is really kind of a slap in the face to black voters. And we constantly get painted as if we're ignorant and we don't know what we're doing.
Oh, well, Anthony, I respect, but Anthony, hang on. I fully respect that. I make no judgment on you as an individual. I talked about white voters getting duped. You don't take exception to that. I talk about Hispanic voters getting duped. You don't take exception to that. I talked about black voters being more conservative than white voters. I say all these things, and yet fact, many black voters called me and said I made a mistake. I wish I could play for you call after call after call that came in before the last elections, and they said I was duped. When he said this, I believed him. I would have callers calling me, sir, because you are not speaking for everyone. I would have them call me and say, let me finish, then you can speak. All right, please let me finish, and then you can speak. I had them call me and tell me I am wrong. Barack Obama believes that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and he said it publicly. And I said, I wish I could believe you, but I can't. Caller after caller. We've had this dialogue, sir. I've been on the air daily for over 6.5 years, going on 7 years now. We've had many, many, many such conversations. And here is his closest political advisor saying he did it for that reason. No, it's not saying everybody, but it's saying many believed what he said publicly. And if he got up in 2008, and here, I'll put the question to you, sir. If he got up in 2008 and said, I am aggressively going to campaign for a man to be able to marry a man and a woman to be able to marry a woman, and I am going to be the most pro-abortion president you have ever seen, I bet that many people that you work with would not have voted for him.
So let me share some facts with you. In workshop and Bible study, again, involving literally thousands of disciples over multiple years, even before he came to that position, we were talking about in our Bible study, in our men workshops, with all of these churches and associations throughout the United States, what does our president mean by evolving? As a believer, how can your opinion evolve on that? So before you got excited about it, or before this revelation came about, we were already talking about it in our churches. And we vote based on the totality of a candidate, not on one single issue.
So Anthony, how many are you speaking about? How many black Americans are there?
Well, I can't tell you how many black Americans there are.
Anthony, this is going nowhere. If I have to respectfully say it's my show, and I'm trying to ask you something, okay? All right, we can make a mockery of dialogue, or we can have dialogue. All right, up to you. I got a ton of other callers who want to weigh in. They're just as important as you, sir. All right? You not hear a single negative word I say about white evangelicals. You don't have a single positive. You don't hear a single positive word I say about black American Christians. And all you come out is with a defensive tone and ignore everything I just told you. Everything I've just told you about all the evidence I have. I'm not living in a corner either, sir. All right. So back to you. How many millions of black Americans are you absolutely telling me you represent? How many millions? Three, five, seven? Or are you talking about several thousand people you're in interaction with?
So there's 30 million or so African Americans in this country. There's maybe 18 million of them that are voter age. Of those, there's a significant proportion who hold themselves out as Christians. And of those,
how many have you been interacting with? Simple question. You claim to be representing black America and correcting me. Okay. How many millions are you representing? How many millions fully knew that the president was being duplicitous on this?
How many millions do you represent?
I can tell you the vast majority of voters believed what he said, white and black, when he said what he said. David Axelrod was his right-hand man, Anthony. You got to wake up and smell the fumes. He was his right-hand man, sir, and he's telling you why he shifted his views. So you're telling me that. This is my biggest issue, though. I want to be straight with you, and I'm going to give you a minute to respond, okay? Then I got to get to other calls. My biggest issue is that you could vote for a man who stood for the slaughter of black Americans in the womb and who in his heart wanted to radically redefine marriage, and you could justify it and critique me. That's my biggest. You could vote for a man who said, let the baby die if it survives abortion, and stand for black genocide, Planned Parenthood. That's what grieves me more than anything. Over to you.
So what grieves me is that you feel justified in making undocumented assertions about the number of people you represent, including the black voter. I can tell you specifically the associations that I congress with that are of American Baptists are in the thousands. I don't know the exact number. And I'm not claiming to represent all black people as you claim to represent all black voters or all white voters.
I'm not.
Voters.
I never said all black voters. I never said all black voters.
My point was and continues to be is that black voters are intelligent. They congress. They talk about the issues and they vote on a candidate.
Got it. All right. So it's only white voters that get duped then. Got it. Black voters never get duped. Only white voters get duped. Sir, double standard doesn't work. Be right back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to go straight to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Lee in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I really enjoyed your book on, what's that, Asharif or something? But anyway...
Akhareet, yeah, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, awesome. All right, anyways, I just realized all politicians are liars and, you know, like big-time lawyers. And I always wonder why people are so shocked whenever they do lie. Also, I was thinking, like, our church was so focused on voting and all this as though there's going to be this man that's going to come in office that's going to be perfect and that's going to make everything better. But Barack Obama is, to me, I mean, I think most Blacks knew what he stood for to begin with. I really do. Not that all, but most of them knew what he stood for because he was a Democrat, and Democrats do stand for abortion and stand for, like, you know, same-sex marriages, you know, most of them, 90% of them. But I usually don't vote, to be honest with you. I'm going to be straight up. Because when I started when I was looking at it, I said, well, I can't vote for this person, you know, Republican, because whenever the first time when Barack was became president, because McCain was on Ellen's show and he goes, well, I don't believe in same-sex marriage, but I do believe in civil unions. So I'm thinking, well, what's the difference other than a piece of paper? You know, okay. And then whenever the second time he was against a Mormon who believed that Satan and Jesus are brothers. And
yeah, I understand the predicament. Yep.
Yeah, it was so confusing. So I'm like, why am I voting at all? I don't feel that I have to vote. I don't think I have that somebody can hold me to that. I mean, our pastor said if we don't vote Republican, the blood of all the kids will be on our hands. I'm thinking, but at what point that when a Republican came in office that he stopped abortion, even though President Bush did stop partial birth, but still, then that makes the people that are getting abortions earlier. And also that they might not get that type of abortion, but it's like it's not stopping abortion. Who's going to stop the abortion period instead of saying, "Well, I don't believe that we should have abortion"?
It's got to be right.
Stop it.
It's got to be the church rising up. It's got to be the church rising up, God's people rising up, and then more and more lost people getting saved and changing the way they live. Look, it's, you know, I can feel it coming already, and easy to get drawn into it. Okay, we need if we get like a godly Christian, say a Dr. Ben Carson, you know, or a Mike Huckabee, or maybe, you know, that person could really lead the way. And look, I would love to see a godly believer in office that shared our moral conservatism. But, you know, even so, it's never going to be the solution because you still got the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment. And you just articulated why these things are difficult. It's not to say not to vote wherever you can. And then we've got to be agents of change. And yes, President Bush was considered a very strong pro-life president, but still have 1 million-plus abortions a year. And I'm sure, look, there are folks saying unless you vote Democrat, you're in sin. Others saying unless you vote Republican, you're in sin. And those saying, if you don't vote, you're in sin. And those say, if you do vote, you're in sin. Let's go to Greensboro, North. All right. Let's go to, all right, back to Raleigh. William, thank. Whoa, all right. Our phone lines are jammed, and now we've got some space here. Dallas, Texas, Patrick, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. First-time caller. I've been listening to you for a little over a year, and I'm going to say you are right on point. Every time you open your mouth, you're on point. The problem we have, the problem with the president is that he is who he is. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He ran on a specific platform, and he did what he said he was going to do. All of these Christians who sat there and tried to make sense of why they're voting for him, they were wrong. I looked at his record. I looked what he stood for, and I could not. I just absolutely, positively could not vote for someone who claimed to be a Christian, but operated outside of being a Christian. When he got reelected in 2008, I was in a big debate at my job with my boss, and they just looked at me and I said, let me tell you something. Barack Obama is going to win, and the reason he's going to win is because he represents the moral depravity of this nation. And until the Christians rise up and put a candidate in there, it's going to be what it is.
Yeah, Patrick, nothing to add to that. And many times, regardless of who we are, our background, our color, our ethnicity, what party we're with, we vote blindly. And I will say this. Barack Obama has brought about radical change in many ways. If you like or dislike the healthcare system, if you like or dislike his push for redefining of marriage, he's brought about change. Now, in my view, it's been very negative change. He has brought about change, unfortunately, destructive. But, Patrick, thank you for the kind words and weighing in. And by the way, if some of you say to me, Mike, I think he's helped in this area, the economy, I think he's helped with this, that, I am not an economist. I'm not claiming to be. I am not a politician. I'm not claiming to be. I'm dealing with the issues that I can deal with as a follower of Jesus, as a minister of the gospel, and as a conservative believing radio host. Friends, take a moment and go to our website. Check out the resource offer this week. It will really help equip you in many, many ways. It is such critically important material needed for the day. AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the homepage on the resource offer. And if we are helping you with this broadcast, we are listener-sponsored, we could really use your help. It would mean a lot to us and help amplify my voice all the more across the nation. All right, let me try to get to another call in Lexington. All right, maybe we can get to one more in back in Raleigh. Rob, time is short, but please weigh in.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I thank you for the opportunity to have this platform. But, you know, politics in America has always been pretty much the same in my perspective. And I am a Christian, first of all. And I wanted to say that one thing that I've learned from my pastor is that once you truly understand the precepts of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the biblical way of life and the disciplines associated with it, then you can really, really be able to bypass a lot of the politics that's going on in society. If we can just get back to implementing many of the Christian principles that we used to have, this nation used to be a Christian nation. If we can just get back to doing that. And then on the other hand, you know, my pastor preaches about...
Hey, tell you what, Rob, tell you what, let me just, I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted to get the call in before we were out, but we're out of time. You're going to hear music playing in a second. But yes, yes, it's up to us, the people of God, to bring about change. It's not up to the president. It's not up to the Congress. It's not up to the courts, although they will have their roles. It's up to us, the people of God, with the help and anointing and grace of God, to be agents of change. Rob, thank you for the call. My bottom line today, yes, I'm grieved over moral decisions by the president. Yes, I'm grieved often by the behavior of Congress, but I'm more grieved with the lack of light shining from us, the people of God. Let us stand. Let us do what's right. Let us shine.